This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'm standing, by the way, if you can't tell. So, I think as was mentioned before, none of our faiths actually have ownership over these values or practices, but the emphasis that is placed within our traditions respectively, I think speaks very well to the importance of these practices and how we can actually utilize this as a means to really build shared narrative. For us in Islam, the idea of reflection, contemplation, mindfulness, seeking solitude to better understand is something from the onset is just plugged in. When the Prophet Muhammad gets his initial revelation, it's after he has had a real kind of relationship built with just seeking solitude. What our tradition tells us is that when the initial revelation comes, he is sitting in solitude, contemplating in a cave in isolation and seclusion from society so that he can understand how it really functions, but more importantly, what his role is within it. And I think as our tradition develops on a theological, legislative level, the idea of how the spirit and its relationship with the mind and the body is really emphasized is one that's quite fascinating. One of the foundational narrations in our tradition says that actions are by their intentions, right? That it's not simply the deed that you do, but you understand why you're doing it in the first place, right? What is your intentionality? What is the motivation behind it? What is really found present within that deed and decision? Are you even cognizant of that? And the second narration that I think is important to understand, complementing that, says that indeed in your being there is a morsel of flesh. That if it is good, your entire body will be good, your entire being will be good. And if it is not good, if it's not set aright, then your entire being will not be set aright. Indeed, it is your heart. What Islam emphasizes is this constant battle between the serving of the ego versus the presence of your heart. And I think it's important to understand as a starting point, especially the city that we live in, because much of the time we're moving and we're going without necessarily really understanding where it is where we're going or why it is we're doing what we're doing. And we ourselves are not present in our own actions. We become a little bit more mechanical and ritualistic, but it doesn't necessarily penetrate our internal, and we're totally just satisfied by a pursuit of the external. Does this make sense? And I think what Islam says, at least to me, is that you want to not necessarily chase after the material of this world and let that be your pursuit, but it places a consciousness in the framing of the next world so that you're not really living through an egocentric worldview. And as you start to understand a little bit more about the I that is uniquely you, you move away from this egocentricity towards a worldview that's God-centric, that never puts you in front of somebody else. It's not even necessarily about us, but it's always about the other. It's about what someone else will gain as opposed to what you will lose, or where someone else will benefit rather than where you will feel detriment. And I think what it seeks to battle is a simple satiation of your stomach, and it focuses more so on satisfying your soul. Not chasing after something that will give you complacency or short-lived satisfaction, but movement towards something that will render you contentment. You want to feel good not just in the moment, but you want to feel good all the time. And I think the last point that I would say is that it's not meant to be self-serving. And it's interesting how we can go almost in a full circle and land at the point that we're trying to avoid through practice that's meant to actually enhance our understanding. I think a lot of the time when we turn to spiritual retreat or seclusion or whatever you want to call it, it ends up not really being retreat, but it ends up being an escape from reality. And what Islam says is that you want to utilize those seclusions, you want to use those retreats or even those pilgrimages is an understanding that they themselves are not the sole process or journey of your heart, but your heart is in a constant state of journey, and those are means by which you can amplify that. But if you make those things that are escapes from reality rather than means by which you enhance your understanding of it, then you're not taking from it everything that you fully can. If I get to a place where I'm so attuned with myself and I'm instead of in such a state of consciousness, it has to be able to render within me an ability to do something for somebody else. I'm not meant to just be in a place where I've now found an internal peace that replaces chaos within, but now that growth internal is meant to bring benefit to the world external. And so when I find synergies between the two, it's when I start to really reach a state of spiritual growth and excellence that is actually as meaningful and reaching its full potential as it possibly could.